You're listening to Packers Talk Network. Packers Talk.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Hi, this is Jerry Kramer, and you're listening to The Sweep. Everybody needs a
place to call their home. Oh, I have sizzle.
Everybody needs someone to call their own. Even when you're lonely, no, you're not alone. You're one of us, one of us, one of us, one of us.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
What is going on, Pack Nation? Welcome back to another episode of The Sweep. I am your host, as always, Fred Thurston, and with me, my co-host, Blaine Hornus. What is going on, my man?
Not a whole lot, Freddie. Just excited to get this episode underway. Got the new mic rolling here. Hopefully, we don't have any more issues like we had last week.
I would say that you sound delightful with no static. It is an exciting thing. I know that I did a little Facebook Live video on Sunday before the game. If you guys checked in on us, we did not have an episode last week. Blaine was out of town. We had some technical difficulties on the episode that we did record. So we didn't record one. That's kind of why we didn't have one. We did kind of a last minute Facebook Live thing. But Blaine is back. He's got a new mic. Sounds awesome. So it looks like clear sailing for us heading out into the rest of the season. So excited about that. Before we get into all of our good stuff, let's of course kick off a little shout out to our sponsors, the three amigos that have been with us since day one. Pride and Glory Clothing Company, the hottest spot to get some authentic one-of-a-kind gear, honoring legendary left guard Fuzzy Thurston and your Green Bay Packers. Tons of great stuff, you guys. Christmas is coming. I know it's so disgusting to hear. But it's true, and check them out at www.prideandglory63.com. Tons of cool stuff. There's we got a whole bunch of new inventory in, guys. The helmet, legendary, sweep 2, winter hats, snapback hats, you name it. It's great stuff. It's awesome for your uncles, your grandmas, your grandpas, anyone that is a big Packer fan. And these shirts are only sold online, so make sure you guys go and get one. You guys can also on Facebook go to the Gold Pack, I believe, Green and Gold Facebook group. Just go up to the little search button, type in Gold Pack Gold. They're probably going to be the number one with 30,000 plus members. They are huge. A ton of giveaways, news stories, fan shares. We talk about them every week. We love them. Awesome, awesome stuff. They keep things real legit, real PG-13. No negativity, all positivity. That's what they do. Mr. Jim Cooper, who runs it, is actually coming out, apparently, I think, with the box, too. He did a mystery box a couple months ago. Tons of great prizes in it, cool things from Go Pack Go and other places. And then he'd have kind of a golden ticket, you know, oh, I've got a golden ticket, a little bit of the Willy Wonka thing. And if you got a golden ticket, you got some amazing stuff. There was Aaron Rodgers signed big 8x10 or maybe even bigger than that. Brett Favre fully signed autographed helmet. I mean, just insane. That's crazy. A ton of other really great stuff. So I think they were around like 30 some bucks. The stuff you were getting in them was well over 30 bucks. And if you weren't getting the monsters like the Aaron Rodgers and the Brett Favre, you were still getting shirts or autographed Paul Hornung pictures. And I mean, just ton of stuff. So if you like the Packers, if you like memorabilia, don't even go anywhere else. Just go to Go Pack Go. I believe Green and Gold. They are definitely the place to be. Finally, our trusty area to watch the games, if you will, the Ground Round in Neenah. It's my favorite place to watch the games outside of 1265. Awesome place. Tons of great food. 20 plus TVs. Just the atmosphere is electric every time there. Lots of fun stuff they do in between on commercials, during penalties. We'll hear from Ryan Batley a little later. telling you guys what to expect if you guys come there. And I'm telling you guys, if you're in the Fox Valley area on game day, whether it's Badger games, Brewer games, Packer games, that is the place to be. And make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at the sweep underscore PTTF or on Facebook. Again, go up to that little search button, type in the sweep, and we should be number one. Follow us, like us, leave comments on there. You know, like our stuff. We like to post funny stuff, good stuff, informational stuff. It's all there. But we are here always 24/7 at the sweep, bringing you guys the latest and the greatest from the Green Bay Packers. And with that, we have officially beat the Cowboys, and we are officially America's team again. A huge win. We'll get into all the specifics. Let's first hit up the injury report. What would a week for the Packers be without the injury report? The good news, guys, this is coming in just from yesterday's practice. Jordy Nelson, Ty Montgomery, and Nick Perry were all full participants. I know a lot of people were kind of questioning the Jordy Nelson thing. What happened to him? Why did he bounce out? Did you see what happened to him by chance?
I know they're calling it a back, but I was worried initially that it was a rib. So, I mean, you know, your back, your rib, it's kind of probably call it damn near the same thing, because I think when your ribs hurt, your back probably hurts. And when your back hurts, your ribs probably hurt, and all of that goes on. But I think the fact that he was a full participant on Wednesday is a really good sign. I'm really surprised that Ty Montgomery was a full participant. That's good news. I think that him coming back and just putting another body in the backfield to go along with Aaron Jones and a couple of the other guys, it's always a plus. So good news there. I think the other area of concern would be our defensive backfield. You have Morgan Burnett, who did not practice with a hamstring. Kevin King is in the concussion protocol, so nobody really knows ever where they are on that front. Obviously, Devontae came back in 10 days from his massive concussion hit that he took. So anything's possible, I guess. But then you got Joe Thomas did not practice with an ankle. And then you have Devon House with a limited practice. So you got the three, Morgan Burnett, Devon House, and Kevin King, all kind of in that who knows area. It's a little concerning. I think we're okay at safety just because my boy Jones can fill in there with no problem. I think it's a little bit more concerning that he wouldn't be able to play that hybrid role that he normally plays, especially with Joe Thomas out. So there's just a little bit of a depth thing there. But overall, this might be one of our better injury reports of the year.
Which is so disgusting.
It is. It's really, really disheartening to say that. But at the same time, you got David Bakhtiari. He was a limited participant. And same with Brian Bulaga. It would be really, really nice to see our offensive line get to full strength.
Yeah, I think that's we've talked about that every single week, it feels like, just to get back to that cohesiveness. Lane Taylor filled in at left tackle again. Just remarkable. He's becoming one of my favorite players. I was not a fan of his a few years ago, but he stepped up, and it's, you know what, a lot of hate goes to Ted Thompson, but again, you have to start to look at this and think, you know, he might not be great. We talked about this last week at a lot of positions, but offensive line, he is just a wizard, and it is incredible what he's been able to do. To be able to keep Lane Taylor for a real minimal amount and to get rid of Sitton and Lang, which I know was not popular at the time, but saved us a boatload of money. A boatload of money we're going to need to use to re-sign, I don't know, maybe a guy named Aaron Rodgers at some point. So I think it's really big. Regarding the injury report, you know, Jordy Nelson being good to go, thank goodness. I think Montgomery is kind of getting there, which could bring that 1-2 punch like you kind of mentioned. McCarthy had a press conference today. No word yet on Kevin King. He's made progression through the concussion protocol, but no word. He said on Montgomery, the plan is to practice today and see how he progresses. And then with Bakhtiari, he said he's feeling better and looked good and practiced well yesterday. So a couple of just news notes on that. I'll tell you what, though. The offensive line being back is great, the secondary cannot afford any hits going into a game against Minnesota with the receivers that they have, which I think we'll get into a little bit more. But that's my biggest fear as of right now. I'm hoping that Kevin King can clear concussion and be in, because I think without him, it's just a little scary, especially considering the person that would most likely cover a Stephon Diggs if that were to happen, and Demarius Randall. But let's get into a little bit of the Cowboys game. What did you see? What did you like? And all that kind of goodness. I mean, it was a win. It was beautiful.
Again, it's almost like a tale of two halves with the defense. I think that's what stood out most to me. Obviously, that you have the Aaron Rodgers being a stud and going down and winning it. I mean, he played pretty damn good throughout the whole game. He just didn't have a whole lot of opportunity in the first half. I thought Dallas did a really nice job controlling the ball, controlling the clock, and doing their thing with the run game and a little bit of the dink and dunk stuff underneath. I think Green Bay's defense helped out a lot with that, especially in the first quarter. It seemed like every third and fourth down play that they had, it was just, oh, we'll take this, we'll take that, and we'll get it whenever we want it. That was probably the thing in the first half that was the most frustrating, is you play really good on first and second down, and you get to third and six or third and seven, and they're throwing it to the slowest guy on the field, and Jason Witten. Which props to him. The guy is, I don't know how he finds a way, and it seems like every week, not just against the Packers, he finds a way to catch four, five, six balls every week, and he looks like his feet are in concrete.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I can't understand how he's ever open against anyone, let alone Green Bay, with the speed that they have. It's just, it's hard to fathom that Jason Witten can get open every week, and it seems like he's the go-to guy on third and medium. And they get it every time.
It makes me feel like I have a shot.
Right?
I could go out there and probably do what Jason Witten does. Like, this, the like this slow – like, the thing that confuses me about him, not only just the fact that he's so slow, is that, like you said, he's been doing it for so long. How is he not covered? I mean, is it almost one of those things where the linebackers are like, oh, there's old man Witten. He's so slow. I'll be able to get to him in time.
It, you know, there's got to be some of that going on. And here's not, you know, my guy Jones was on him a few times where he caught the ball. And it's just like, what is he doing that's so different than some of the other tight ends in the league? Is it just because he is Jason Witten and people kind of give him a little bit more respect than maybe he might deserve, or they give him the respect he does deserve and he just takes advantage of it? I can't put my finger on it. My point is he's obviously a surefire Hall of Famer. You know, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, and he's really good. It's just frustrating to see because you watch him in his routes, and like I said before, it looks like it's in concrete. Like, his legs barely are moving. It looks like he's running in slow motion, and third and medium, he'll get the job done damn near every time.
Yeah, he's something special, and that was kind of the thing that I was worried about, was giving them short third downs, short fourth downs, but even they were still 6, 7, 8 yards, and they were still picking him up, and it looked concerning. Again, another first half where we had to be really kind of a little nail-biting as to what we were going to do, because it looked like there was no way in this world we were going to stop them.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is everybody wants to point to the penalty on Blake Martinez and say, oh, that cost them 7 points and that shouldn't have been. Well, they should have never been in that position to begin with.
Right.
I'm not excusing the awful call, and I'm also not going to give the Packers an excuse of giving them 6 points on that, because they should have never been in that position. They should have stopped them two or three times before that, before they even got into field goal range, mind you. So, I mean, to blame the officials for a touchdown on one play, you got to remember that the entire drive was a catastrophe for the Green Bay defense.
It was. And to focus on, you said first half, second half kind of thing with tale of two halves in the defense. You know, offensively, it's kind of been the same thing. In the first few games, we've had slow first halves. I mean, we've had a couple of moments here and there, but yeah, it seems like our second half has always been really good. And that's something I've been waiting to kind of bring up the last couple of weeks, just because I kind of wanted to see more of a sample size. But it always
we kind of touched on it. Was it last week? Well, maybe it was last week on the episode that never got out.
Yeah.
But Rodgers is historically not good at the beginning of the year. I mean, I think we looked at it that the last couple of seasons, he gets to game 6 or 7 and all of a sudden decides not to throw a pick the rest of the year.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, he goes really long stretches towards the second half of every season without throwing picks, which is awesome. I'm not going to argue with the fact that if he goes to game 7 or 8 this year and after that never throws a pick, that's obviously crunch time down the stretch. You know, you're making your playoff run. That's great. But what's the difference? Why does it take him, you know, sometimes 4, 5, 6, 7 games to get into that groove where he's making good decisions? Is it a little bit of the play calling with McCarthy and getting into a groove? Is it the fact that he doesn't play in the preseason and they just need to get their timing and everything figured out? I don't know the answer to that, but history is repeating itself now the last few years that Rodgers gets off to slow starts, whether it be single games or, you know, the first 5 or 6 games as a whole. Now, the last couple of weeks, he's been pretty spot on, but if we go back and we look at the first 2 or 3 games, he was pretty average at best, I'd say, in the first few games.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing I was saying, was that, you know, in the first 5 weeks, his first half stats weren't always the greatest. And they'd go into the halftime and they came back and they seemed to always be so much better, which is a fantastic attribute going into our coaches and the play calling and being able to make those changes at halftime. A quick stat here. Aaron Rodgers in the second half through week 5, he's throwing 69.9% with 758 yards, 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and a 120 QBR. So it just shows that the adjustments that they're making going into the half have just been huge. I, to be honest, when we were playing Dallas, obviously the first half was a little disheartening and a little scary. But I felt confident, you know.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, hey, we've been making huge changes every single week going into halftime, and we come back and we just seem better, and we've been making those changes. So, you know, even if we go into Minnesota and the first half just looks scary, I won't be as adamant to give up and be like, oh, crap, we're done. This is just over. Because I feel like we do the right things and we're making the right adjustments, which is a huge thing for our coaching staff, because it seemed like in years past they were just so set on, this is what we got to do, this is how we got to play, this is the Packer way, and blah, blah, blah. And it almost bit us in the ass sometimes. So it seems like this team and these coaches are a little bit open to change for once, and that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'll give Rodgers a pass against Dallas only because – I think they had 3 possessions in the first half.
Yeah.
One of them he got sacked twice, and the other 2 they scored on. So Dallas game, you know, you get a pass. He played pretty good, but defense just couldn't get off the field. And the reason why the time of possession in the first half was so lopsided was because what we already touched on is 3rd and 4th downs killed him. And they buttoned that up a little bit in the second half, and, you know, I think Green Bay, when they had the ball, kind of controlled it a little bit more. We got a little bit of God's gift and luck on our hand with Dallas dropping a pass and it falling into our boy's hands and returning it for a touchdown. Huge play.
Whose boy? I don't have any boy.
That's your boy. I saw you.
Don't have any boy like that.
You called him out on Facebook, and what was it, a half hour, 45 minutes later, he picked 6's one?
Well, that's true. All right.
That's your boy now.
Ah, that sucks.
You're stuck with him.
That sucks. I want to put him up for adoption. I don't want this guy. No
but, way. You know, that's something we need to talk about. And I think I texted you right away, or you texted me, whatever it was. That may or may not be the turning point for his season. That could be the play that turns him around, gives him that confidence, and puts him back into rookie year Demaryius Randle.
It's true. I mean, we did talk about that. We'll talk about it a little bit more once we get into our Playboys and Schoolboys. But let's quick say hey to the guys at Ground Round.
Hey, fans. It's Ryan Bailey from the Ground Round in Neenah, proud sponsor of the Sweeps. Another reminder on why Ground Round is the place for Wisconsin sports. We have 21 TVs in our sports lounge, giving you a perfect view from any seat in the house. On Packer game days, we have food and drink specials like $8 pitchers of Liney's beer, half-price bar bites, free Packer touchdown shots, and the always fun Ground Round Cheesehead Plague Hat. When the Packers opponent is penalized, one lucky person drinks free. Win or lose, you'll go home happy as we raffle away gift certificates and other prizes on our spin-to-win wheel, including Packer jerseys. This year, you can even go home with tomorrow night's dinner as we have added game day meat raffles. If your favorite spot to watch the game is on your sofa, Ground Round can still be a part of your game day experience. We deliver our full menu 7 days a week with everything from soup and sandwiches to wings, burgers, and steaks. If Lambeau Field is your favorite location for game day, we have you covered there too. For only $20, you can take the Ground Round tailgate bus to and from each home game. The bus leaves 3 hours before kickoff and returns promptly after the game. Call us at 725-1010 to reserve your seat today. Thanks for listening, and now let's get back to the Sweep. Go Pack.
All right, thanks, Ryan. Make sure you guys go and check them out. I'm telling you, I could say it 1,000 times, and it wouldn't be right because I need to say it 1,001 times. Go down to the Ground Round. It's amazing. It's the greatest place. Tons of great food, awesome stuff. All right, but let's get into what we have deemed Playboy.
Yeah.
And Schoolboy.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber.
Of the week. These are our guys, the guys that played the best, and the guys that maybe should just hide from until next Sunday. I'm going to start off with my Playboy. It's kind of a two-person deal. I think there's the obvious, but I'm going to go a little different on this one. And this is going to be two guys that I've been high on since day one. And I know that Blaine's been a little skeptical, and a lot of other people have been skeptical about this position over the last couple of years. But I'm going with Shake and Bake, Blake and Jake, the linebackers for the Green Bay Packers. And this is the deal. Blake has been – I think he's been playing fantastic all year. I think he's really stepped up. He had 12 tackles, 5 for a loss. That is incredible. And then Jake Ryan coming back, having 7 tackles. I know that this was a position of concern for a lot of people. And it still may not be the most amazing, but come on. You're looking at damn near 20 tackles between the both of them. I just think that they're the right fit, and they have the right speed and the right smarts to play on this defense. And I like seeing their progression. And every week they seem to get a little bit better, a little bit tougher. They're not the biggest, thumpingest guys, but they do hit. I mean, Blake has been hitting people legit. He's even hurt Dez Bryant in the end zone, apparently. But yeah, Blake and Jake, man, Playboys of the week for me.
Yeah, those are obviously good ones. I think that some of the sub packages and some of the things that we're doing defensively as a team is helping them. I think that instead of being on the field every play, because that's what it was last year, damn near every play, Blake and Jake were on the field. Once in a while, Joe Thomas would come in some passing type situations or when there was an injury. But I think they're fresh. They're getting a break here and there. They're seeing the field a little bit more. They're getting to see it from a whole nother level, and they're fresh. Yeah. And come the fourth quarter, that's a big deal. That's the difference between a 3-yard game and a 7-yard game. If your linebacker is making a tackle in the hole, if he's tired in the fourth quarter, it's a 7-yard gain. If he's not tired and he's fresh and he can make that hit wrap up, it's a 3-yard game. That's the difference sometimes in games. And I think the contributing factor to them being more fresh and more in tune to what's going on is the fact that they're not having to play every snap like they had to.
So let me ask you this. Are you good with these two guys now as our inside linebackers? Or do you still have any concerns?
I'm always going to have concern because – the fact of the matter is we don't have a true defense. We don't have our base defense, which what I would call our base defense, doesn't have two middle linebackers. I mean, that Nitro package is being played probably more than any other package we have, and Jones is playing that hybrid safety linebacker role. So, I mean, that – I don't know. It's to say that I'm going to be fully comfortable with the linebackers, probably not ever. Not in Green Bay, unless we get a Ray Lewis type, then we're good. But those are so few and far between. I think these guys are definitely serviceable. I think they're doing their job, which is pretty much all you can ask. I think they're both comparable to the A.J. Hawk type player, where they're probably never going to be your top five linebacker in the league, but they're always going to be hovering around that middle of the range where they're serviceable and they do their job. And if they can both stay healthy, I think they have a long career in Green Bay, because linebacker is not really our position here. That's not what we go after on defense. It's what you kind of covered as far as the big, bulky, big hitter linebacker, that's going away.
Yeah.
Because people are too fast. And if you can't move and you can't move your feet and you can't cover some of these athletic tight ends who are basically just bigger wide receivers now, you're not going to be able to play linebacker anymore. So the big thumpers that can't move aren't going to be what come into the league anymore. You're going to have more of these hybrid type players. And I think Jake and Blake are probably the last of the true linebackers for Green Bay. I mean, I don't know that Joe Thomas is going to be around too much longer, just because his role can be fulfilled with a faster, stronger player that can also do a lot more other things than just play linebacker. Does that make sense?
Yep, I hear you, man. I couldn't agree more. I've been saying for a long time that the position is changing, and that, yeah, I mean, you just – The game is passing, and the run game is just slowly dwindled in the NFL, and it's still there. I'm not saying it's gone, guys. I'm just saying that you're looking at teams where a little bit more pass every year. You're not 50-50 anymore. You're probably a little bit more 70-30 when it comes to it. Now, if you have a team like Dallas with a great offensive line and a running back, you know, of course you're going to run a little bit more. But I think for the majority of the NFL, it's a pass game. So, yeah, linebackers being big, thumping, slow molasses guys, yeah, they're not there anymore.
Well, and I think that just to touch on what you just said as far as the team, I don't want anybody to think based off the stat line against Dallas that they can expect Jake and Blake to have 20-some tackles combined every week. That's just not going to happen. It happened against a team like Dallas because of their style of play on offense. Now, when you're playing a team like Dallas, yeah, you hope and you want your middle linebackers to be the ones that are racking up the tackles, because that means they're not getting to the third level. Sometimes not even the second level because of how many tackles Blake made in the backfield. But that's, you know, that's what you hope for when you play a team like Dallas, because if your linebackers aren't making those tackles and you're counting on your safeties and your corners to make all those, that means they're, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 yards deep into the defense, and that's usually not a good thing.
All right, who you got for Playboy?
My Playboy of the week is kind of an easy one. I'm going Devontae. I think that the fact that he was even out on the field is remarkable. I think it shows that he is a true competitor. I know that a lot of people are going to say, well, he didn't really have anything to do with it. It's just how he healed. He went through the concussion protocol, and it is what it is. Yeah, that's true. But when you get hit like that, and, you know, you get hauled off on a stretcher, it would have been really easy for him to come back the next game and just say, yeah, I was out there, and just be serviceable and be the guy out there and getting his feet wet again and getting back into the speed of the game. But he came back and he played phenomenal. He caught the game-winning touchdown. He was confident. He's the one who told Rodgers to go back to that play from the play before where Rodgers kind of missed him. The fact that he is becoming an elite wide receiver in this league is awesome for this year. It sucks for Ted Thompson and the paycheck they're probably going to have to write him here in the offseason. But he's becoming a top 15 wide receiver in the league easy.
And you mentioned the fact that he came out and played off that. You know, do you think if he wasn't a contract year, he would have came out and played?
You know, I don't know, but I like to think so. Just the guy has matured over the last couple of years immensely. Yeah, I mean, from his final year where you and I were both pretty hard on him, when he was having all the drops and he had the injury and stuff, he's matured. He has, you know, kind of, I think he's just taken a page out of Jordy's book. He is being a perfect pro. He's being a Packer. And it's awesome to see. And just, I just can't get over the fact that he played and he played so well after what happened 10 days prior.
Yeah, I think it speaks a lot to his character. We talked about this a lot last year. This was a reoccurring theme, whether or not to re-sign Nick Perry or to wait till the offseason. I think in this circumstance, you know, do you go after Adams? I mean, now this is if Adams even decides to pick up the phone and listen, but do you go after him now and try to get him for something, or do you wait till the end of the season? Because at the end of the season, he could potentially have a record-breaking season, and then you're going to have to make a record-breaking deal. Or do you get him now where, yeah, he's hot right now, but still play in a little bit of the injuries and things like that. And that, again, that's even if he's just, you know, Devontae could say, hey, listen, we'll talk about it at the end of the season.
And that's what I would do. I mean,
if you're Devontae, yes. If you're Ted Thompson, you got to go. You would think you got to start maybe trying to give him, you know, a text or something.
Well, here's the thing. If you kind of knew, I mean, I'm pretty sure I have the same opinion of him now. I mean, minus the whole being a leader type stuff. But as far as his ability on the field, I had the same opinion of him now than I did before this season started.
Agreed. Me too.
So I can't imagine Ted's opinion of his play on the field has changed. So if you weren't willing to sign him before the year because you wanted to see how this year played out as far as injuries and production, and then you might as well wait and play it out.
Yeah. All right. I give you that. Another.
If they win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If they go on to win the Super Bowl, they're going to lose more than Devontae Adams. It happens every year to every Super Bowl winning team. And if as soon as you win that ring, you think you deserve more money, which you probably do. And that's just it. Why extend his contract and pay him a big dollar amount when, who knows, maybe next week he tears his ACL.
Right, and that's the game you're playing.
Right.
Player in anything you're doing. I think the main thing, though, is that I would assume that everyone would be in agreement here is that Devontae Adams is the future of this wide receiving group. Obviously, well, he's only 24, man. I mean, that's just insane.
Yeah.
Obviously, Jordy Nelson is up there in age, but he just does not seem to slow down necessarily. And Randall Cobb is Randall Cobb. I mean,
do you remember, I think, I don't know if it was last year, if it was some of our off-season episodes. I've been keeping my eye on this whole Randall Cobb situation. I don't know how much longer he is in green and gold.
Are you saying mid-season or are you saying end of the season?
And after this year.
I'm
not sure he is rostered next year. That frees up a lot of money for Devontae, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that because there's no way they're going to get rid of Jordy. I think he's a lifer.
He'll retire here. I mean, yeah. He'll retire probably before his contract is up.
He'll retire before he's done actually playing. Like he,
for sure.
He'll retire here even if he has 3 or 4 more years left just because he wants to retire as a Packer, and that's why Jordy Nelson is just fantastic.
The only way I see Cobb staying is if Green Bay wins the Super Bowl this year and Jordy retires.
Okay, yeah, I could see that. I still think that you have to consider Cobb either taking a pay cut or he's gone just because the production value does not meet the pay. And I think that's where you have to just start considering some options.
But if you take Jordy out of the mix, doesn't Cobb's production go up?
Did it go up when Jordy was hurt?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then there you go.
I mean, you can tell when Devontae or Jordy or someone is out, the next guy that comes in always has an effect on the game.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's Geronimo Allison or Randall Cobb, or if Randall Cobb goes out, Jordy has a bigger game, or if Devontae goes out, Cobb has, you know what I'm saying. Usually when someone goes out, somebody steps up.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Cobb is one of those guys. When he goes out, somebody else kind of comes in and takes the spot. I guess the point there is they're never going to overpay for a wide receiver for more than a year or two because of who their quarterback is. Their quarterback makes every wide receiver better. They're making Geronimo Allison look like a pretty decent wide receiver, for crying out loud. And we really don't know what he is. Could any of these guys go to another team and be a number one?
I think Devontae could possibly. I don't think Jordy. I think Jordy has obviously a ton of talent, but I think there's just a chemistry there that is remarkable. Well, I think Devontae has the attributes and the size and everything to be potentially number one, but I still don't know if he is. And I think it's the same thing we've been saying for damn near 20 years with even Favre and the receivers that would take off on him, you know, Javon Walker and then Greg Jennings with Aaron Rodgers and all that stuff, is these are good receivers, but they're not – we've never been elite. I mean, we've never had the Jerry Rices, the Calvin Johnsons, the Randy Mosses. These have all just been really good receivers, but have looked remarkable with the quarterbacks that they've played with, and especially Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Aaron Rodgers can make some people look really good.
Case in point, James Jones, the hoodie season,
yeah,
led the league in touchdowns, did he not?
Yep.
He was nothing outside of Green Bay. I think there's a lot of that going on here. I'm not trying to diss any wide receivers that have ever played here, but there are people and players that have come and gone and done nothing but great things in Green Bay and nothing but shit anywhere else. I think you can lump these three into that category. I really don't think that Devontae could even go be a number one on maybe a couple of teams that don't have any talent, but any respectable team, he's a number two, I think.
Yeah, I it's hard to argue that. I mean, it's the proof is in the pudding. We've seen it. You know, it would be one thing if we haven't seen it happen a million times over.
James Jones,
Greg Jennings, all that stuff. So, yeah, I agree. I think that at the end of the season, depending on where we end up as a team, I mean, there'll definitely be a different group of receivers coming in. Not a large group of different receivers, but I think of the big three, one of them potentially ends up being gone, and it's probably not going to be Devontae or Jordy. with Playboy and Schoolboy, I think it would be just a downright shame if we didn't quick talk about what made me the most excited about this game. And I was hoping maybe you were going to bring him up as your Playboy, but I see where you're going. And that's Aaron Jones. Definite honorable mention for Playboy. I loved watching everything that he did. It's been a very, very, very long time that I've been as excited about a running back in Green Bay as I have about this guy running. I'll be totally honest. I pride myself on and feeling like I know a lot about the draft and doing that stuff. I would have never imagined that he would have been able to do what he did. I knew he was good. I knew he had some potential. But the way that he came in and ran that ball against Dallas, which I understand is not the most fantastic of defenses, but the way he did it, his vision, his cuts, the way he hit the hole, his speed, it was just amazing. It brightened my eyes, and I was so excited to see it. And I think that there's a huge, huge potential there. And I just, man, if we can get him to run that same way every single game, that will open up this entire offense to the point where you don't have a freaking chance against us. And I don't care how good your defense is, because now you're going to have to respect it, where we haven't had any defenses respect our run game for years. And if we can get to that point, there's just no way that you can stop this offense.
The only thing I want to touch on with Aaron Jones is he better learn how to do how to cut a guy, or how to at least slow a guy down or get in the way.
Yeah.
That's the only concerning thing I have from him, because everything else was fantastic. He better learn how to pass block when he's counted on for a little bit of extra help.
And I think he'll get to that point.
Because I think that was the reason why he was behind Jamal Williams in the first place.
Right.
I don't think anybody ever really questioned his running back abilities when it comes to running the football and catching the ball out of the backfield and stuff like that. I think the biggest question was on 3rd and 12, can you stand in the backfield and protect your quarterback? And there was times where he looked a little lost in those type of situations. But you're right. If he can rush for 125 yards a week, that's probably going to get overlooked in the long run, because you can't replace that production. And like you said, it just adds a whole nother scary element to the offense, in which is already kind of scary because you got a guy named Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to Schoolboy. I'll start off. I'm sorry. I know he made a play, apparently, but I'm going to still go with Demaryius Randall. I didn't see any huge change in his play. You brought it up earlier when he did get the interception. We both said to each other basically at the same time. It was awfully creepy. How this could be the change. You know, sometimes you just need that, something like that to happen, to just knock it off and get yourself back to where you need to be. And kind of play different. I was hoping for that, but then he got burned. You know, he got burned a couple more times, and I just...
He did have a couple pass defenses. He showed signs of showing life.
Right, and you know what? It was all within the same game, and maybe a couple days off will let him kind of get back to where he needs to be, and hopefully this, like I said, hopefully it helps. If Kevin King is out...
we'll find out in a hurry.
Yeah, that will put a tall task on Demaryius Randall, who got his ass straight handed to him last year with Stephon Diggs. It won't be easy. We'll get into Minnesota in just a minute. But I'm just going to stick with Demaryius Randall. I'm glad he got a pick, but it just wasn't there for me.
You're making it tough on me, Freddie.
I know.
That was my schoolboy for sure, and I would love to piggyback off of that. But I'm going to go with somebody that you probably would never guess that I would throw under the bus, just because it's not really who am I kidding? You know I don't like him. I'm going Nick Perry. I'm not a big fan. I don't have anybody else in my Arsenal right now. I don't think he played particularly bad. I don't think he played particularly well. I know he's got a broken hand. He's playing with a club. But he's my least favorite Packer, so that's why I'm picking him as my schoolboy. I mean, there's a lot of players on the defensive side of the ball that just played okay. And that I think was the problem in the first half. And then a lot of those guys turned around and played pretty good in the second half. And that was the difference between the first and second half. Nick Perry, though, is like I said, he's my least favorite, so he's getting picked on.
All right, that's fair.
That's the only reason.
I understand. I think he plays better with the club, so I'm excited to see where he's at. He did have a sack, so we got to give him a little bit of props for that. I'll give you one other. Yeah, and I guess Demaryius Randall had a pick too. So apparently, the guys with the two biggest plays are the ones we don't like.
You know, you know who I do want to mention as far as a playboy goes. Who's having a pretty solid season. It might not show up all the time in the stat book, but he's always there, and he's always seemed to be doing something every week, is Clay Matthews. And I'm so happy for him, because people have been calling for his head for such a long time, and I've been in his corner all along, and now he's finally come around. I think people are noticing it too. Might not be showing up fully in the stat book, but he's playing well, and he's always doing something.
Yeah, I'll agree. I've been giving him a lot of crap for the last year, and I think that I've seen it. I've definitely noticed it. I've noticed he looks refreshed, and he looks like he's ready to rock and roll again, which is exciting. Let's quick hear a quick message from Go Pack Go. I believe green and gold.
When's the last time you shouted at the top of your lungs, "Go Pack Go"? Was it today? Was it yesterday? I hope it wasn't all the way back at the NFC Championship. Well, either way, we have a way to scream it every day, and no one will think you're crazy. Well, we welcome crazy. My name is Jim Cooper, and I am the founder of the largest Green Bay Packers fan group on Facebook. With over 30,000 members, this is the place to find it all. From the latest news, to the best fan shares, to knockout giveaways. Go Pack Go, I Bleed Green and Gold, is the group for the biggest of Packer fans. Go to Facebook, find the group, get involved, be active, enter for all the giveaways, and always say it loud, say it proud, Go Pack Go.
All right, thanks, Jim. Let's get on to this week's matchup, the Minnesota Vikings, who I just, you know how much I love those Vikings. That made me sick to say that. I don't feel good. But what I do feel good about is these three fun facts I'm going to drop for you guys. One, the Packers are 11-3-1 in the last 15 games between the Packers and the Vikings during the regular season and postseason. That's a beautiful record. Including the playoffs, this will be Mike McCarthy's 200th career game as a head coach. So congratulations to him in advance. That's pretty awesome. He has been around for what seems like forever.
You don't have his record handy, do you?
Of his full-time record?
Yeah.
No, but I can find it.
Because didn't he earlier this season just get his 100th win? Or was that Rodgers?
That could be – who was that? That's a good – I thought it was McCarthy. Was that this year or last year?
I don't know. I'm getting old. I can't remember stuff like that anymore.
I don't know. All right, so his record is 128-70-1.
Okay. That's solid.
That's very solid. 10-8 in the postseason, which was – that's something. So congratulations to him. That's pretty awesome. Hopefully that is a little extra motivation for us to beat Minnesota. That'd be a great team to beat. And of the past 29 regular season meetings between the teams, 20 of those games have been decided by 7 points or less, which is an interesting fact. And even like last year, they were close games. I expect it to be close this week as well. I hate saying that because I'd love to just murder them. Last year was obviously a quandary in our system because we just were not successful against them. Obviously, the first time we played them was them opening up their new stadium. I'm going to attribute a lot of that to that. It's going to be interesting. I think if we don't have Kevin King, I'm going to be a lot more concerned just because – Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen are just on fire as receivers. Even if it's Sam Bradford or Teddy Bridgewater or Case Keenum, it doesn't matter. They just seem to get open and make plays. In the secondary, although I think a little bit better than last year with those injuries is concerning. I want to be confident about it, but I'm just having a hard time. Without Dalvin Cook, that's a huge thing for us. I'm excited about that.
You can't forget about Kyle Rudolph and Michael Floyd either, who was activated last week.
And you know what? Michael Floyd could be that X factor that kind of comes in and we pay so much attention to the other guys. Offensively, they have the weapons. I hate saying this, and I don't even want to say this on air because it just makes me sick. But Minnesota's a good team, and they have a good offense, and they have a dynamite defense. If they had a quarterback, if they had a legit quarterback, they would be a Super Bowl contender without a doubt every single year. Their defense is scary. Their defense is good. I think with our offense and if Aaron Jones is able to run again the way he is, we can hopefully get some things going there and kind of control the game with the run. I know last year, Rodgers kind of harassed Trey Waynes a little bit. He had a lot of penalties and just kind of kept going after him. And you could see that it was getting to him. Trey Waynes ended up picking off Aaron Rodgers later on in that game. But I think if we go after him again, I mean, Harrison Smith, top five safety in my book. Xavier Rhodes, cornerback, has been playing lights out. And then they have a great front seven with Everson Griffin and different, a bunch of guys, Linville Joseph, all sorts of guys. It's going to be tough. I don't know what the perfect approach to it is, what do you think we have to do to get past that defense, and how do we stop Diggs and Thielen?
I think the biggest thing is, you know, two of the guys that I was just talking about is Nick Perry and Clay Matthews need to get after his ass, whatever quarterback it is. I can't imagine them putting Bradford out there after watching the first half of his game last week. He just looked like an old man. He couldn't move. He looked like he was in pain. He had a big fat knee brace on. I don't know why they would put themselves behind the eight ball again and have such a slow start. I'm 100% assuming that Case Keenum will be the guy that plays. That being said, I think he has a little bit more mobility than Bradford, which probably helps out their offense as a whole. But I think if Clay and Perry can get after him early and just get a few hits on him and get him like out of sorts or frazzled towards the beginning of the game, and Rodgers can put, you know, a few scores up in the first half and force him to be the guy that makes a play, I think that's going to spell trouble for Minnesota. Now, if Minnesota starts out well and they go down and they score right away and he's got confidence the entire game, that's going to be a dangerous game. Then you're going to have yourself, you know, a field goal game, a 7-point or less game at the end. I'll still take Rodgers in that scenario, but I would rather be comfortable in the fourth quarter by a touchdown or two or three. I think we can both agree on that. When you're playing a division rival at their place, right? At their place?
At their place, yep.
It's never comforting being in a close game at the end. So I think if you can rattle Case Keenum early and kind of keep him out of any momentum or confidence throughout the game, I think that's going to be the key for us, which is kind of scary because, you know, our defense has been, you know, one or the other. They've either been good or bad. They haven't just played consistent right down the middle, which that, I think that's the biggest thing for us.
Yeah, I don't know. I would say I'm nervous, to say the least, just because I don't know what to totally expect, because I think that this team has shown me glimpses of greatness and then showed me kind of areas of concern.
Yeah. I'll say one more thing, too, about it being in their stadium is we don't have a good history in the one game we've played there. They need to get some confidence in that building because that's where the Super Bowl is. And I would hate to walk into that building at the end of the year for the Super Bowl and the Packers be there and be 0-2 in the building.
Yep. Hey, I agree. Well, it would be 0-3 at that point.
0-3. Sorry.
Nope, you're good. Yeah, you bring up a great point, and that is to get that confidence there and to start early. I think we'll win. I just think we're going to have to battle for it, and we've shown that in the last few games. But Minnesota is not really much of a joke. And here's the thing: if we can, like you said, get after Keenum and really just rattle him up. Because he's still Case Keenum. I mean, we're not talking about a good quarter. I mean, he's all right. He's not terrible, but it's not like an elite guy that is just kind of battling through some stuff. I mean, if you just get in his head and start messing with him, make some turnovers, we can own this game. Let's get a prediction. What do you got?
I'm going 30-24 Green Bay.
Okay. I like that. That is the first, I think it's the first week that we haven't, subconsciously pick the same score like we've been in the last few weeks. I'm going to go a little bit smaller. I think we kind of stay in that same realm of not a huge difference in score. And I'm going to go 24-20, a low-scoring game. I think the defense is just good. I'm hoping I'm completely wrong. But 24-20, Packers win. If you guys want to make your predictions, you guys can send them on over to Pride and Glory Clothing Company on Facebook. Every week they do a game day giveaway for a free shirt if you can guess the correct score and be the first one to do it. And, of course, the Packers win. Last week, again, I had someone put a score on there for Dallas winning, and I was like, you guys, are just get out. Just get out of my face. So make sure you guys pick the score. Packers, if you guys pick the score, you guys win. Bottom line, easy as that. Make sure you guys like it, share it, get as many people involved as you want. We have one winner this year so far. And you guys can check out Pride and Glory, like I said, on Facebook, or check them out at prideandglory63.com. And again, check us out at the sweep underscore PTTF on Twitter and on Facebook, up at that little search button, hit the sweep and you will find us. Any final thoughts?
I'm calling one shot for the game. I'm calling Green Bay scores on defense and or special teams.
Okay. And can I dive into it and say, how would we score on defense? Pick six, fumble.
I'm going to say that there's going to be a deflected pass and Clay Matthews is going to catch it and run it in for a touchdown. That's happened in Minnesota before.
Yes, I like that.
It will happen again.
When you said that, I was thinking it's Clay Matthews. It's for sure Clay Matthews. I will agree with that. I think that's a good one. I'm going to go with something that – I'm going to go with one call here since you just did it. I feel challenged. And I'm going to go with, and this is going to be contradicting everything we talked about on this episode, but I'm going to go with Randall Cobb getting 100 yards.
Okay.
I think he's going to have a game kind of gets lost in the mix and can really step up.
Does he score?
No score, but 100 yards.
Okay.
And I hope I'm wrong. I hope he scores four times and only gets 20 yards.
I don't care who scores. As long as we
score. I'd like to see if we score four times,
I think it's a win.
Can Bennett score? Can we get Bennett in the end zone and get that chip off and let him open up? I mean, I'm hoping that the reason he hasn't is we're just waiting to really, like, break him out and just do crazy things later on in the season.
Took some time for Cook to get into that rhythm.
Heard that. All right, baby. I appreciate it, you guys. Thanks for so much for listening. Hopefully this episode is as beautiful as you are. And I know it was great hearing Blaine talk so elegantly and smooth. We appreciate you guys listening. Keep listening. Keep following us. And we'll be back next week. So go Pat, go, baby.
Go Pat.
You're not alone. You're one of us, one of us, one of us, one.